Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and I have some good news, ladies and gentlemen. We are seeing answers to who were the players of the week in Week 10 in the National Football League and on the AFC side for Defense Player of the Year, none other than Katie's own, Danielle Hunter. Our defensive end ends up with 3.5 sacks in that comeback victory over the Jaguars. And, I mean, it just had to be him now, didn't it?
Oh, I mean, who else would – I mean, just the sacks alone would be player of the week, as you said.
And, I mean, that's the thing. Is you say the sacks alone, but clearly that's not all that he brought.
Right.
One of the things that was deeply encouraging is that he also helped in the run game. Like, it's one of those things that, oddly enough, actually choose to nitpick this defense and try and, like, you know, really get into, you know, details with them, even though they are fantastic as a defense by many, many metrics. You know, stopping the run, or maybe not even stopping the run, but corralling running quarterbacks and making sure that those rushers
runs,
are able to
moments.
Stop the run.
Yeah.
It gets a little dicey. They played a lot better. They were a lot they held up a lot better in those circumstances, which I don't know that I'm worried about by any means versus the Titans, but it is an interesting thing to see if they can continue to replicate that, because if they can, you know, hold water in that way, they become even more terrifying because they continue to apply pressure and get the rush. If they can also now not allow teams to kind of find little gaps to, you know, have a run attack the aggression of the pass rush or have a quarterback escape, I don't know what a team is supposed to do against them.
So when you talk about the Texans defense, you know, I'm not saying best player. Who's having the best season on the Texans defense?
Ooh, this is tough because some of these players, their stats are going to be some that are accumulating, and then some of these players are stats
for them. I mean, for what your expectation was. I think there's like six players you could say.
Let's do it.
I think
let's do
like
it. Let's do it.
Players.
So clearly, Danielle Hunter, especially with the explosion that he just had,
he's on the list.
Will help bring it up because I know that production wise, we were a little worried, but he was still constantly applying pressure. He also helps by pushing guys because there's a push and pull with these guys. Will Anderson Jr. absolutely in
there's
there.
There's two.
Because he's had a lot of production. And I think.
Now keep in mind, this is based on expectation. There's two.
I think they're still somewhat, they're still meeting.
Stingley?
Sting, absolutely. That's one of the guys that I was getting to when I was talking about the idea of, it's the absence of statistics that ultimately proves his value. That every game we could talk about how there's not that many passes going over there, and then very often it's like one pass that's ultimately caught against him or what have you. Like, he's doing a great job there. Petrie is absolutely one of those.
There's four.
The physicality coming up, the interceptions that he had early. The other one that I wanted to get to is number four himself, Kamari Lassiter.
Lassiter is on the list. There's five.
Especially when you talk about being
these are all candidates.
The other cornerback from an all-pro guy. This was the year that you go, our team's going to test him, and good luck. Like, it hasn't been a lot of that. Plus, even more recently now, his versatility, his ability to kind of move in and play the slide, and I guess just generally his willingness to go lay the lumber to be physical, that continues to show up on the.
Now this is where it gets into the muck a little bit, but I still think you can argue they're having the best season based on expectations. EJ Speed.
I mean, when you talk about the delta of expectation to performance,
we didn't even know if he was going to start.
He's up there.
He wasn't a starter.
Yeah. Toji
very much pops up there. He's their best run stopper.
Rankins.
Sheldon's been great too.
Like, there's six or seven guys you can say he's having the best season based on expectation.
And that's the reason why you have this. That's the reason why this defense is of the caliber that it is, because you have. I don't think there's a defense in the world that is built off of just one dude playing incredible.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at least not one that's supposed to be one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So I did find that to be interesting. And of course, salute once more to Danielle Hunter, who is the AFC Player of the week. Somebody said, go to lunch already. Y'all sound hungry because of the question.
Yeah, we are.
Of the day. Don't worry. I was snacking on an apple that whole way. I was getting my fiber in.
Yeah.
I don't know what the tone or tenor is to take with this news. Because Jay Glazer reported yesterday that former Pro Bowl cornerback Jair Alexander, you remember now that he is with the Eagles after being traded mm-hmm. away from the Ravens. He's stepping away from football to, quote, try to focus on getting himself right physically and mentally before deciding on his future.
Yeah.
I obviously want to be very sensitive because that could mean a lot of different things with the way that it was said, but there's a physical element and a mental element. He has also been traded a couple of times in the last year.
And lower picks.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a sixth round pick or something?
Yeah. Something
so,
to that
so
effect.
I think this is something that people know about, that he's had whatever the issue may be, physical, mental, whatever it may be. Yeah, and as you said, you know, you can't speculate and you have to be sensitive to it. But I think it's probably well known that he needs to get himself together, and good that he is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're happy about that, but just it's weird. And I guess a reminder for me personally,
mm-hmm.
things go like that. Like, not that Jair Alexander wasn't, you know, isn't kind of advancing in football age, but it doesn't feel like that long ago where he looked like one of the best corners in the league playing up there in Green Bay. A
mm-hmm.
couple of different stints, and now he's in a place where, I'm not going to lie, when I see that, you know, he's got to get himself right and then decide on his future, that feels very much like the couch is calling very, very
right,
soon
right.
for him. But yeah, man, that's a reminder, man. The playing at this high level, it can come to a close pretty quickly. Not saying definitively that's what's here for Jair, but I think it's fair to say that it feels like it
mm-hmm.
to some degree. Another big news point that happened yesterday, you might have heard it talked about a little bit here on Sports Radio 610. In division, the Jacksonville Jaguars, your most recent opponent, they're going to have to get used to the wide receiving core and the cornerback core that they had this past week, because Travis Hunter, the cornerback and wide receiver that the Jags traded up to go and draft at number two or number three, rather, he is done for the season. MCL surgery is what he had yesterday. We learned about that yesterday. So that, I mean, you don't draft a guy for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
However, that particular draft, it feels like that casts a real shadow on the decision to go select him.
Well, because it does. And until he can prove that he can do both, or they make a very tough decision to go just receiver or just cornerback, and he plays at an all-pro level, until one of those two things happens, it's a bad pick. It just is until further notice.
I did the thing where mm-hmm. I was right, and then I questioned myself drafting number two. Which, again, mm-hmm. even more so, like, you had the likes of Abdul Carter and mm-hmm. stuff available to you, and you know that you need – well, I mean, I was like, I guess know that they need pass rush might not be the right way, but
yeah. I imagine – they gave up a first-round pick next year.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I imagine this draft looks – or this team, rather, this weekend looks very different if it's Abdul Carter over there
yeah.
rushing the quarterback
yeah.
in addition to it. Now, of course, you can't go back and change everything. That's not how this works, but – He hadn't even really gotten into that bag of looking like anything like a generational player that they had kind of drafted.
Right.
This is rough, especially yeah. when you're coming back from an MCL. It's not by any means insurmountable, but does this then lower the ceiling on what he can be on either side of the football? Because he needs to be great on either on both in order to make
well,
this
well. He needs
worthwhile.
To be very good on both or great at one. You know,
fair.
But
you gave it's the or,
you yeah. got to be elite. At
See,
this, point.
This is the thing yeah. is. I would hear you on mm-hmm. that very good on one and then solid on the other if it was just a number two overall pick.
Yeah.
It's the additional first round yeah. pick that makes it rough. Right.
It was they gave up a second mm-hmm. and that year and a number one first round pick yeah. for next year.
Yeah.
So you got to be elite at something.
Right. This is one of the few places where you can look at the Cleveland Browns and go, good job. Y'all did something. Proud of you. But yeah, so Travis Hunter out of the way for the remainder of the season. Doesn't matter for your Texans. You're done with the Jags, mm-hmm. but of course that doesn't help the Jags in what they're trying to do. And
right.
obviously I feel like they probably had some idea of this when they went
mm-hmm.
and acquired Jakobi Meyers. All right. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. You got to remember Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back in this. It's also featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. That's Landman and the new season streaming November 16th only on Paramount Plus. Ladies and gentlemen, if this concussion, or is it the concussion for Jackson Dart? I can't remember because he's had a lot of issues. You know, he has that reckless abandon to his game. But yeah, mm-hmm. concussion for Jackson Dart. If that does not abate by the time it's time to play football this weekend, we will have the return of Jameis Winston, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Jameis time, baby.
Mike Kafka, who is the interim head coach there in New York, you remember Brian Daboll was fired up there. He has decided that the number two quarterback on the depth chart will no longer be Russell Wilson, who had to step in after Jackson Dart got hurt. It'll now be Jameis Winston. So now, if Dart can't go,
didn't they say he's going to start?
I believe so, yeah, but
Adam Schefter tweeted.
Yeah, Adam Schefter said it. Yeah.
I obviously wanted to lay out the stakes and the reason why, but yeah, seems like Jameis back at it again, baby.
Jameis back at it, which is always fun. We know that.
I mean, people ready to eat a W.
Let's go. They're going to be eating some dubs up in New York, or at least trying to. But it did get me thinking about Russell Wilson. So his career is going to be remembered. How would you remember if it ended today? And it may well end this year. How would you remember Russell Wilson?
I'm trying to find the large overarching thing. There's a lot of things that I think about. The large overarching thing is probably like a dude who was good, like really good at a very particular thing, but had a limited time with it because he's one of the shorter quarterbacks, but he had heft and he had like a mobility. And those were the things that allowed him to be the shorter quarterback, move, find those windows to throw the football into. But, you know, that big arm and everything, it seems like once he got out of the environment where he was protected, once they leaned into him, or maybe just leaned into once he got older, it kind of faded away and you didn't have much left.
How would you remember?
I feel like I will probably be that person that's trying to defend him a little bit. Like, hey, he was good when he came in the league. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was a third round pick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a third round pick. He came in, won the starting job. I feel like I will be trying to defend him for those couple years. Because right now, we all going to forget about that. Right. We all just going to be thinking about the end of Russell Wilson and the bad parts.
All right, so you both basically fed into my theory on this. And my theory is this. He's the epitome of someone who just stayed around way too long. Because let's say he retired after he left Seattle. All right? In 10 years in Seattle, 9 Pro Bowls, 37,000 yards, 2 Super Bowls, 1-1, Walter Payton Man of the Year, All Pro 3 times, once as a second teamer, 282 touchdowns, 87 picks. We would be saying if he retired after 10 years, which is a good career, that's a great quarterback. It's gone.
That's kind of erased.
I don't even think it's gone.
He had 9 Pro Bowls in 10 years and 4 All Pros.
Well, here's the thing is I don't think it's gone.
2 Super Bowls.
I don't think it's gone. I maybe would view him and not in the same stratosphere, or maybe you'd argue he is in the same stratosphere as kind of Cam Newton. We're like his Super
Bowl. Oh, he was better than Cam Newton. Like 10 years?
Ooh, I don't think so.
No, his career.
I still
Let
don't
Let me say
think
those numbers
so.
Again.
Yeah, I hear you. I think also you have to change. You have to think about.
He had a
You have
better
to think about circumstance. The Panthers did not do anything near what the Seahawks did for
I will fight you on this one on all day long.
Well, let's fight then.
10 years, 2 Super Bowls, 4 All Pros, 9 Pro Bowls,
2 Super Bowls with an incredible defense and an incredible run game. He was surrounded by some things that helped him. Now you got me putting down Russell Wilson, a quarterback that I actually really
like. See, that's the part. Like, the thing that Reggie is saying right now, that's all going to get erased. Him mentioning all of that.
That's
just
my point.
I don't think
he just retired after 10 years. We'd all be saying that was a great quarterback.
I'm with you there. I think that the tenor and tone of the conversation about Russell Wilson changes a little bit. I don't think it gets erased. I think we just need more time to get away from what has been a really nasty back portion of his career. And it's not just that he's fallen off a cliff because the deep ball. Well, I mean, he could still throw it down there, but like everything else is not quite there. The mobility isn't there to help him with some of the things that he has with being a shorter quarterback with the offensive line. The biggest thing is just, how do so many people not like you?
I know.
Right? Yeah. Like,
and that's a factor.
With all the people not liking him, it's made it really nasty to talk about Russell Wilson. But you're right. Like, there's a lot of good in his career.
He was great for 10 years.
I sure hope that with the little distance, people will be able to look back fondly upon his time.
Seattle. And then my thing is, he ain't the first quarterback that was surrounded by a great team like that.
Not at all. All the time.
And it seemed like he would never get the credit or any credit for whatsoever.
I'll put it this way.
For his career.
He is not going to be remembered there's always outliers, but and certain segments. I don't think by and large he's going to be remembered as that was a great quarterback. Had he retired after 10 years, he would have been remembered as a great
If he would have retired after that first year in Denver, then we could possibly erase that year in Denver and then just kind of look at his Seattle career. Mm-hmm. But we just always going to go back to what happened after they leaned on him.
Yeah, that sucks for him. He is now been relegated to quarterback three once again on that team. Yeah, real rough end of it. But you know what you can always say? You going home to see our big dog, you the winner. real quick, because I did tease this, I want to run through this. There's some team, coaches that I think possibly on the hot seat. You tell me. Hot, kind of warm or not. Matt LaFleur with the Packers, who, I mind you, I believe they are the team that the Giants are facing this week. So you'll have Jameis versus them and Drew Brees on the call, interestingly enough, another short quarterback. But Matt LaFleur, the head coach and the offensive play caller for the Packers, this is a team that they're 5-3-1, and it feels like they should be better.
It does, but not hot.
Warm or cold?
I think he's fine.
I think he's safe, too.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Okay. All right. Sean McDermott of the Bills, interestingly enough, a 6-3 team that does not feel like they're hitting their heights here. We've talked about the fact that their defense is bad, and it feels like a lot of this is falling just squarely on Josh Allen to make him good.
Not hot. I paused for a second, but boy, he's done a lot there.
I'm going to say a little warm.
A little warm?
Yeah, not warm, but just a little tiny warm.
The thing with him you got to talk about is constantly good teams. Where's the beef? Like where's the back end of this? Where are the playoff victories that ultimately make you feel better?
It kind of seemed like they on a treadmill at this point. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did decide to go in a different direction to try to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Raheem Morris with the Atlanta Falcons, 3-6.
Hot.
I think hot seat.
Hot.
Yeah.
It does feel like that now.
Yeah.
Like they have these little moments where they step up and they bite ankles, but it just feels like this thing has been fairly mismanaged. All right, a couple more real quick. Kevin Stefanski with the Browns.
Hot.
Yeah, I think at this point it's hot. That offense has been so bad, man.
Yes.
That offense has been so bad. It'd be crazy if it wasn't a hot seat.
And now it feels like there's also ways in which you're not helping yourself either with some of your personnel.
And that's an offensive coach.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can't have a bad offense like that, no matter who the quarterback is.
I'm with you. I think he gets fired, and I think he immediately gets another job. And then finally, Pete Carroll with the Raiders.
Mutually agree to part ways.
Retirement.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They're 2-7. Does this not feel like where they probably could have thought that they were going to be early on?
Probably, but still.
I don't think so, man. Just kind of seeing how Geno Smith played the previous couple years.
They did go and buy Geno and immediately ruin him.
So I'm not buying that.
All right, there you go. A little bit of a hot or not when it comes to some of the coaches that might be on the hot seat. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. And again, salute to Daniil Hunter for being the Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC. Do you have any qualms with rooting for a non-ethical player? Because this came to me because a particular Houston player was talked about as maybe being non-ethical. But I want to make this wider. If there's a non-ethical player on your team, do you have any issues rooting for him? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. In 12 o'clock hour, we'll be giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston Cougars take on TCU next week. And then, of course, at 1 p.m., we go behind enemy lines. We talk to our guy, Ron Slay, out there in Nashville.
Hey, don't forget that Texas Star Grill Shop gift card, too. Oh, it's Wednesday, man.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
I almost didn't give it away. In fact, I met one of the gentlemen that... Actually,
he almost didn't give it away.
Okay. I met the gentleman that actually won the Traeger last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him in the lots tailgating
last weekend.
Yeah.
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 He said you was a jerk because you ain't put it together like you said you was going to put it together for him.
I know he didn't say that.
He said that. He also said he's out of OG sauce, so you might need to come out here and get some more.
There we go.
All right.
He said that jerk just dropped it off at my door and left.
I remember him very well. I actually hung out in his backyard for a while.
Oh, really?
Good backyard?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I was just kind of chatting with him up.
Okay, very good. All right. Do you have any qualms? Do you have any issues rooting for an unethical player at any time? Because this was a thought that came up when I happened to be scrolling Instagram, like I think we're all now, you know, forced to succumb to, is just scrolling your app of choice and just rotting in some ways. And I saw this Instagram post, and I feel bad because I immediately forgot what the name of the account was, but it was coming for our very own Alperen Şengün, mm-hmm. the center, starting center for your Houston Rockets.
He's a bad seed, that one.
But this was actually coming off of the Spurs game, where in the game you have Alperen Şengün, you know, kind of accentuating, some might say, contact that might not have been there. Or another instance.
He's like, he got punched in the face.
Yeah. He threw his head backwards in a place where I was like, I'm not even sure if Wemby got him. And then in another instance, coming off of a free throw, he just throws his forearm into Wemby. Yeah. And that big man flew backwards. Mm-hmm. And so this was an accusation levied at Alperen Şengün.
There is not a more miserable watch right now in the NBA than Alperen Şengün. And I don't mean about his basketball abilities. He is ultra talented, but he is the most annoying and frustrating player to watch. Every single game, what are we doing? I can tolerate gamesmanship, but this is dirty. And Şengün has been doing this and flying under the radar about it for entirely too long. I still won't forget the way he acted during the first round of last year's playoffs. Coming after Pat Spencer, but then any aggression from Pat Spencer, it was like, ah! And people in the Warriors Reddit seemed to agree with this, saying that if you watch that series, Şengün flopped on every single drive, every single one of them. And if you watch him on a nightly basis, you see this. You can't ignore it if you are genuinely watching Rockets games.
I kind of love it because that's a compliment.
Okay, so
that's a compliment.
That's interesting. So let's dive into this, because as he was mentioning that, although don't talk to me about Warriors Reddit. I don't need to hear about them people.
Where Draymond play?
Right, yeah. But like I've heard, like as he was saying, I was like, oh yeah, I've had friends actually that are not Rockets fans, not in the area at all, talk to me and be like, hey man, this Alperen Şengün thing, for real? And I'm like, what you mean? And it doesn't click to me because like he's our guy. He's here. And so it made me think about it. Like, how do you deal with this? Do you have any issues? Does it pop up as all? Because I do want to watch guys that, like, you know, play the game, quote unquote, the right way. But at the same time, like, when that guy's your guy, or when those guys are your guys, how do you then deal with
you,
it? How
you put, handle you it? Put the blinders on. That's called being a fan.
Yeah, that's kind of like a Warriors fan. They ain't gonna have no issues with what Draymond Green do unless it affects the team.
How about man? How about Patrick Beverley?
That was one of the ones that came to mind very quickly.
The first thing that came to my mind was James Harden. The way he be drawing no fouls.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, I used to be so irritated with that, man. Mm-hmm. Just like, man. And then the other thing I think about is SGA, how they call him, the free throw merchant.
Yep.
And I was getting a little irritated the way he was just drawing fouls. I'm like, man, this dude ain't even trying to shoot the ball. No. He trying to draw a foul.
And then throws it up all... You know,
yeah, I'm just like, man, that kind of made me dramatic. Not really care for him.
It's funny because when you asked the question, I was kind of going in two directions. The first one is that, like, just a guy that kind of gets under your skin, but you still cheer for him if he's on your team.
Yeah, but I still always, with Pat Beverley, when I think of them, I think of obviously
I hated him anywhere but here.
Right. I also remember the fact that Russell Westbrook, who ultimately obviously played for the Rockets at one point, but Russell Westbrook hadn't missed a game in his career up until Patrick Beverley went, like, and he was just playing way too hard and hurts that man's knee. I think, was it in the playoffs versus Oklahoma City? And I'm like, that's something I absolutely despise.
Yeah.
But he's on my team, and I tend to root for the dudes on my team.
Right. So that's one direction. The other one is like actual bad dudes, like, you know, off their, you know, court or field or whatever, that you still kind of like ignore that. You know, and yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And those are the ones that I think I have just an impossible time. I can't get to that.
I was racking my brain. I really, truly don't really fall in line with like just bad people.
Yeah.
Except for one.
Uh-oh. bring it to the table.
Who is it?
Because we're none of us are without our little, what's the right word?
Yeah. You know? And it wasn't local, but Mike Tyson.
Oh, Tyson is a good answer.
Mike Tyson, I was always like, that is a horrible human being in so many ways. Yeah. I just cheer for him every time.
Yeah, the one I think about, and to me, I felt like this played a big part of him kind of changing his life and all that stuff. Lopez probably wouldn't care for him, but Mike Vick, just seeing how he served his time. He did a bad thing. He served his time. He got with Christ. He kind of changed his image a lot. And so right now, I kind of root for him a little bit.
I changed my mind on him. My whole thing was I hated it. I wanted him to go.
He did a bad thing.
I wanted him to go up the river. I was glad he did. But once he did his time, I said it on these airwaves. I said, you know what? That he did his time.
For me.
You know, and he started to
change. People still can't get over that no matter what.
And I'm interested in those people to some degree. I'm never going to be the person who tells you what you need to do in that moment. But I do think that if there's anything in the American ethos is the idea of rehabilitation, whether or not we are good at actually doing that. That dude, if you talk about rehabilitation, he became like one of the biggest
spokespeople for
the ASPCA. Mm-hmm. He became a champion of animal rights in a way. So I'm like,
right. I legitimately, not like I'm his biggest fan and you forget everything, but I got no problem with where he is right now.
And so like, I think that actually brings us back to any of these with some of this is like, especially with, I need to see like a level of repentance or in a weird way, I need you to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to be the person that is like really playing on the border of the rules and like, you're going to be a little bit of a jerk. I need you to embody that and own it. Right. Like the Pat Bev, one thing I can say, he owns the mess out of it. It's one of the reasons why I don't respect Draymond Green because he wants to play both ways. Like he'll try and own it, but then sometimes
then
he'll
like, play the victim. Like,
put his hands up.
Oh man. No.
Nah.
That's good defense.
And so I'm seeing a lot of people here, right? Someone from the 832. I'm a diehard Rockets fan, and I hate it. Like, because I actually think about this. Obviously, you know I was up in Dallas. I'll put a dollar in the bucket if I need to. Dealing with, like, Luka Doncic in like, the height of him being a young star, but constantly crying and complaining for fouls. Like, it's awful to watch, man. Because you're like, not only are you doing this and trying to, like, work the perimeter of this of the rules or whatever, also you're hurting your team in doing that. I don't think Alperen Şengün is anywhere near that. And I think
we're
that's
getting a lot of Rockets fans that are saying, yeah, it irritates them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was interested in.
832 Şengün is annoying to watch.
All right, and then this is another player that I thought of because we stayed with the Rockets side of this. Hello, Houston Astros, right? How did you handle this, and was this just because it became an attack on the Astros, you went into defensive mode and didn't even bother about it? But from the 832, would Aziz be the one?
I'm glad you brought that one up. I saw that, and I think he's the example of on your team, y'all are crazy. I guarantee you, every other team in the division especially, think he is just a dirty player.
But what's funny
guarantee.
And I think it's not only because of the actual play or the way he plays, but I think he kind of leaned into it on social media too, tweeting the Joker picture and all that stuff. I think that kind of made everybody like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's the prototype.
But what's funny is the thing for me about Aziz is not because he's on this team. Mm-hmm. It's because we've seen who he actually is.
Yeah.
We've seen like
But we've seen who he is on the field too.
Yeah. And that's fair. Like that's such a hard dichotomy to try and pull together because there are times where I go, "Damn it, Aziz, what the hell are you doing?"
Exactly.
Man?
Yeah.
Right? Like come on, man. Like I get it. I will defend you to a certain point. But when it gets out here, and maybe that's the answer, right? We'll defend you when it gets to a certain point, but when it gets egregious, it's a problem. And I think that might be the way that I might handle this Sengun thing.
I think that's the issue. When you keep seeing it, mm-hmm. then it's like, all right, man, because I kind of felt that way kind of going back to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon. Whenever he get called for a foul, he always has his palms up.
What I do?
That was so irritating. It made me not like him.
Yeah.
Because every time he get called for a foul, his palms up.
I was nothing.
He always got his palms up, man. I don't know if he playing now, but he probably still got his palms up.
Yeah. So I from the 8-3-2, maybe this is a dynamic I didn't consider. Sengun versus Wemby and Giannis is personal because of Eurobasket. Interesting. Had not considered mm-hmm. that angle of it. Maybe that factors in, but. You know what and I'll leave this as my final word on this. Another thing I think that also factors in. With Pat Bev, it's like, oh, yeah, this is how you had to stay in the league because you was in Russia.
That's the only way.
Alper, you too good for this, big dog. Yeah. Like, that might be it. Like, you too good to be out here acting like this. That might be why people are mad at Shea. It's like, hey, man, you got MVP time. Why are you in here doing this?
Yeah,
this is beneath you.
Or your ass is probably the MVP because all them damn free throws racking
too.
Up points.
That too, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just continue. Let me know how you feel and how you deal with an unethical player and rooting for him. Because, interestingly enough, that's kind of something that I did not realize. Honestly, like, it almost moved the blinders for me because I had not really looked at Alperen in that light, and now I'm trying to deal with it.
Damn, I'm probably going to be looking at him a little different now.
Well, you have
man.
An opportunity because they're playing tonight. We'll talk about that and, the college football playoff rankings have come out. We'll talk about all of that and what's popping, and we'll do that next on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 on this Wednesday. And once more, worth remembering, defense player of the week in the AFC is Daniil Hunter, 3.5 sacks. And really the biggest ones were in that fourth quarter helping helping the Texans pull off a big time comeback after being down 19 to ultimately win 36-29.
We were talking a little bit during the break, the previous break. Like, who else had a good game? I mean, I know there were some, but that kind, who was even in contention?
Oh, in the AFC?
In the AFC.
Yeah, that.
Good
that,
thing Myles Garrett ain't had no 5 sacks
yeah.
because that would have got overshadowed.
I feel like that, especially in the weekend that was the slate of games, that one was just such a what just happened?
Yeah.
Type
yeah.
game that I think it would have garnered the attention of the NFL
mm-hmm.
regardless. Some other things that are popping is, as we mentioned, the Rockets. You have an opportunity to see just how much Alper Sengun and his antics annoy you. Because
want to be annoyed? Go to the Rockets game.
Actually, I don't even know if you will because they are playing against an admittedly more professional basketball team than they have been in recent history, but a 1-10 Washington Wizards team, 7 p.m. at Toyota Center.
That doesn't sound like more.
That's the thing. It's like you watch it and it looks like a more serious operation. CJ McCollum up there, you know, running point and everything. They got some nice players there, yet and still. 1-10.
And so, you got the return of one Cam Whitmore.
There you go. That is one of the big stories.
He's about to put up 40 tonight, yo.
I don't know if he'll get that much burn. He did have this, I think maybe this weekend, was it? Or maybe it was even Monday night. He had a really nice drive down the baseline dunk. And I was like, that looks really cool.
That good. He's good for that.
Yeah. I've seen that before, though, right? Like, now tell me if it's, do I make this drive into a contested dunk? Or do I pass this foot basketball?
Right.
Which one does he do then?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I think the thing. That's interesting there. I will want to see him again because Cam mm-hmm. Whitmore was a very intriguing prospect, and he does have the ability to give you those highlight plays, so I want to see that. But also, worth remembering, City Edition jerseys are on display, and the return of Dunkshot, that's happening tonight as well at Toyota Center.
I want to like them, but I just can't.
The City Edition jerseys?
No, the Dunkstronaut.
The Dunkstronaut. Oh, yeah. I don't have much affinity for that. I've made that known.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was saying that he thought the City Edition jerseys mm-hmm. were the best ones in the league.
It's kind of like the Texans, their gear in some instances is better than the actual uniform. I think the gear is really good. You know, the T-shirts and the hats and stuff is really good.
Yeah,
that way.
Because I think with the Texans, a lot of people wasn't really a fan of the
uniform,
alternate,
yeah.
the new one with the H on the side of him and
but
all
the
that.
The gear is sweet.
But the gear, yeah. Because I think a lot of people expected to have more H-Town blue.
Yeah.
But I'm like, nah, they're going to go out with the gear, though.
Yeah, and it is a lot of H-Town blue on that. Same thing with the Rockets.
Yeah. I will say, though, Kevin Durant, you ain't got a lie to kick it. We love you, man.
Yeah. I thought about that. I'm like, okay, he's just pandering a little
bit. You don't have to lie to kick it, man. We rock
you around
here.
I respect it.
Hey, keep knocking down these middies, man. Keep just putting buckets in people's eyes. I appreciate that. You don't got a lie to me. Maybe you got a lie to some of these people. Me? We good, dog. Yeah. You don't got a lie to me.
This is me you're talking to.
Exactly. You don't got to do that, big dog. Some other things that are popping. How did you feel about this when it came to Manager of the Year voting? Joe Espada finished sixth in AL Manager of the Year voting. We were talking, I mean, that ended up being a talking point a number of times for us this season because of the managerial injuries.
You have the whole list in front of you?
Let me pull it back up for you. But yeah, that he ended up sixth. I think it was Stephen Vogt who ultimately won.
Well, yeah, the top two,
back to back, in fact.
I was going to say, he won it twice in a row.
Yes, back to back, which he's done a great job with the Guardians there.
Yeah, and Schneider was second, I believe. So I had no problem with the top two. But I was like, sixth? Were we too close?
Yeah, I mean, we probably were too close to it, let's be honest.
Who was ahead of that?
That's what I want to know, because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Give me a moment, and I'll see if I can.
Or at least, who was ahead that didn't make the playoffs?
Well,
I'm just kind of curious who was ahead of him that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I felt the top two were layups, but beyond that, I thought he should have probably been higher. Here, I've got it. No, I don't have it right here.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I looked up and I was like, hey, the actual answer that I thought I had, not there in the way that I wanted. But
oh, here we go. Stephen Vogt, John Schneider, those two I'm good with. Dan Wilson, Mariners, okay.
They finally did the thing that you thought they were going to do for a number of years. Why he got that level. Obviously, the actual playoff performance, I don't know how much really, that will factor in.
Not supposed to, but.
It was a good year for him, though.
It was very much a good year.
So, okay, Alex Cora, Red Sox was next, and then A.J. Hinch.
I can't be too mad at most of that.
The AJ Hinch thing, I felt like he had a collapse though.
Yeah, they did too.
Because that was in the regular season.
Yeah. Actually, great point. You know what? Because they had already had their jumped him. They had all their flash.
We ain't talking about the playoffs or nothing. We talking about the regular season. He had a historic collapse.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. That's a great point. Then they had already had their flash season last year, so it's not like, oh well, the expectations weren't there. No, they were building a little bit.
That collapse is going to get overlooked because they beat the Guardians in the playoffs, but that was a fireball offense.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like that's nasty business. All right, somebody said Wizards equal cheap ticket prices. That's right. Get out to Toyota Center and see the Rockets
for the
low.
Here we go again. Back to the 10-20 discussion.
Well, speaking of seeing sports for the low, I'm bringing this up for no particular reason. I'm not looking at anybody in this studio here. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of the YouTube TV and Disney battle that's happening there for carriage of, you know, the properties that show a majority of or a lot of sports for sports fans, I kind of feel like Amazon is dirty pool for doing this right now. Apparently, they're stepping up their attempts to block illegal sports streaming via Fire Sticks. I saw this. This is via The Athletic.
You can do that?
They're rolling out a tougher approach to trying to combat this. And the move is outlined in a new documentary episode of the Athletic FC podcast, which is a soccer podcast that the Athletic does. But apparently there's just a growing piracy market. And we know that just generally, but it's showing up even more. And this is more internationally what we're talking about. Folks watching international soccer in various different leagues all over the world via, you know, illicit means using, you know, jailbroken Fire Sticks.
So like pirated apps on like Fire Stick.
Yeah, it looks like Amazon, they launched a new Fire Stick TV or Fire TV stick last month. And they're trying to, you know, combating this piracy.
People actually do that.
And I'm shocked.
Uh-huh.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Amazon ain't do this a long time ago.
I hope they.
That is the thing that I am surprised about. Yeah. That like this is a known thing
on for 10 plus years.
They need to get every single one of those people in Germany and France. Every one of them.
Oh, just out there, huh?
Yeah, every one of
That's
them.
That's right. Okay, I feel you. The thing that I find interesting about this is the question that I have, and I haven't really gotten a great answer to it. When it comes to, and maybe they wouldn't give us this because maybe that would alert more pirates of how to do this, but how do you actually manage this?
Like, I did see the story. I was just kidding around. I think this is going to be really difficult, like really, really difficult for them to do because, and by the way, they're kind of hurting themselves a lot too, because how many Fire Sticks are sold and are people just going to, is that number going to go down? And for legitimate, you know, apps that you load on your Fire Stick.
That's anything in the world when you try to fix the loophole.
Yeah.
Somebody going to find another way to get around
that too.
So I think it's going to stop it for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys out here are good, man. they come up with any type of way to get around that loophole.
Yeah.
And I don't think it ain't going to stop. It's a Band-Aid.
And I also think this is a message, man. If it's that big a problem, I get it. They shouldn't be doing that, you know, whatever. But they're doing it. Why? Because these apps are way out of control. Like the prices people are paying, the number.
Yeah,
of
I was going to say, man, it's the prices.
Way out of control.
Yeah, because I think if all of this stuff was really affordable and easy to kind of navigate, I don't think people would be trying to do all of this.
I agree.
But that's where all the money comes from. Like, that's the thing is, like, all of the money in these leagues continues to come from the rights, the broadcast rights, and those keep going up because of the value. Mm-hmm. You raise the value, or, you know, you have those rights so that you raise the value on your services, and ultimately the people that get squeezed are the fans, and they turn to piracy. And this is I think you're right, Fig. Like, ultimately, you're always going to be behind. The law is going to be behind the cheaters and whatever the circumstance is. I'll be interested to see if they can close the gap here at all. I don't believe in them here. I just thought that it was an interesting thing that was happening. And then finally, I want to bring you back to the college football playoff rankings, which were dropped yesterday in Grapevine. And can I admit that, what's my guy's name? The commissioner or the
Mac
head?
Rhodes.
Yeah, Mac Rhodes. I am sick of listening to him talk.
He is the AD at Baylor. Sick of him talking.
He's the AD at Baylor, but he's also the chair of the
former
college football
AD
committee.
Of U of H.
That's right. Yeah. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
When he gets up here and tries to get the answers, he doesn't sound like he's convinced of these answers.
He talks out of both sides. I'm like, okay, just say this is where we landed, fellas. It was hard. You know, it was close. We just decided, what the hell, we'll put this team sixth and this team eighth, because Texas Tech jumped Oregon and Ole Miss, and I think very well deserved. Why don't you just say, I think very well deserved? Don't give us all this analytics gobbledygook. But you can interpret it so many different ways.
And that's the thing is, like, this is why, and sorry, I'm getting on my soapbox. Yeah. I apologize. I know what it sounds like. This is why I kind of hate that we do these rankings all the way through. I understand it's for the TV show. You do the rankings, and then in order to make sure that the rankings go over, you then have to explain your justification, except clearly your justifications are all over the place. Right?
Well, why can't you do what we do? I think Texas Tech at six is deserved.
Well,
why? I just think they are.
Well, you know that's not going to play, right? Like, why can't they do it? Because I'm going to be on the other side being like, that is preposterous. What are you talking about?
But if there's 12 people that come to that conclusion, I would buy it a little more freely than, you know, their defensive metric against, you know, this is, he said this about A&M, you know, well, yeah, their defense was good, but they were playing a third string quarterback. Hell, they were playing a backup quarterback at
Penn State, at Penn Indiana, State where they Indiana barely clawed too. Their way out of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is the thing. It all boils down to barbershop talk, man. We are all going to be just having this debate, which is why I don't think that we should do it. And this is why they absolutely do it every time, is that it's going to get the people going.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to get the people going. Ultimately, though, Texas Tech, like you mentioned, jumped Oregon. Oregon also got a little bit of a respect off of winning that game at Iowa. The top remains the same, with Ohio State at one, Indiana at two, A&M still sitting at three, Bama, Georgia, and then that's where Tech jumps up. I think Tech was there, right?
No, Tech jumped.
Tech did jump, yeah.
Yeah, Tech
so you have Ole Miss.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think they
should have.
And then Texas slid into the top 10 as well. But there's some of these teams that you've got your challenges ahead of you. Texas still has a couple of big matchups there happening. And I think the real interesting thing is that we are very much living in the end game.
This is going to be fun.
Where the ACC very easily can end up in a circumstance where they're left out of this. Because
Miami might get in and not play in the title game.
It's possible,
that
but
that would be the only one.
The thing is, if you have, there's a possibility where Duke wins the ACC with four wins. You got to remember, it is top five conference champions, not necessarily top power four.
But what I'm saying, there might not be a conference champion in the ACC that makes it per se.
That's what I'm saying you can end up with, you know, Big 12 champion. You can end up with SEC, Big 10 champion. You could get American. Because you have a possibility of like a two-loss Tulane getting in there. Like, it could get real dicey in the way that this goes. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to watch in the way that it's coming down. But, again, it's all nonsense. None of it matters. That's why I bring it to you. All right, that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it feels like the Texans might possibly have fixed a few things with this offense on Sunday, at the very least for a quarter. Which one is most likely to be sustainable? 713-572-4610. We'll go through them and we'll decide next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.